Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. My name is Candace Wassell. I'm the pastor here at Faith. It is such a joy to have you visit with us. You are welcome, so welcome in every part of Faith's community. You are welcome to join us in person at worship on Sundays. You're welcome to visit us online. You're welcome in our mission and our fellowship, and most important, you are welcome at the Lord's table.
As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." He went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace and peace and joy and love and mercy be upon us all in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm just going to come out and say it. It's been quite a week. On Tuesday, Liz and I drove to my hometown in southeastern Minnesota for my mom's funeral. Now, some of us here have experienced losing a parent, and others of us have not. But regardless of which category you may find yourself in, I have no doubt that hearing of a mother's death triggers ideas about sorrow and grief and sadness and maybe even regrets. I have to tell you, it hasn't been like that. My mom was 88. She lived a long and full and mostly happy life. She was richly blessed in many ways, and she knew the joy of being a blessing to others. Her pancreatic cancer diagnosis 2 years ago could very well have meant a quick end to her, but in fact, despite abruptly stopping the chemo that made her feel so sick, almost a year and a half ago, she continued to defy the odds and lived a remarkably comfortable and pain-free life, giving us all time to show her that we loved her and to tell her that she was a really good mom. No, honestly, a lot of our grief was eclipsed by a profound sense of gratitude for such a beautiful, peaceful end. As she just fell asleep, surrounded by the love of her husband, my dad, and daughters and grandchildren. But I tell you what, I didn't know how I would feel when on the day of the funeral, we went to the church that I grew up in. Listen, one of my very earliest memories is of me as a little boy in that very church crying as I looked up at the same stained glass window I looked up at this past Wednesday. Me sitting in the pew with my family, quietly crying to myself. Why the tears? because something the pastor said in his sermon that day made me realize in that moment that one day my parents would die and I'd never see them again in this life. This long ago memory came alive for me again this past Wednesday as I looked up from my mom's casket to that same stained glass window. But believe me when I say that I wasn't crying this time. More than anything, I was grateful. Really, really grateful. Let me tell you, the funeral was full of some lovely surprises. I couldn't believe the number of relatives that came to the service, some from many miles away, cousins I'd not seen in decades, former neighbors, old family friends. The funeral director and I were high school classmates. How's that for classic small town? And there, could it be? Are you kidding me? Susie Bruner, who babysat me and my siblings so long ago? And then, just when I thought I could not be more surprised, a small, older woman put out her hand and said, "Do you remember me?" I could not believe my eyes. Despite her white hair and many decades of separation, I knew her in an instant. It was Miss Patterson. Miss Patterson was my first grade teacher 60 years ago. Do I remember Miss Patterson? It may have been 60 years ago, but I absolutely remember Miss Patterson. Everyone who had Miss Patterson for a teacher remembers Miss Patterson. And I so very badly wish I could tell you that it was for all the hearts and flowers reasons teachers would like to be remembered. Later that day, I would mention to my oldest sister that I had spoken with Miss Patterson, and she blurted out, "Miss Patterson, she was so mean." So maybe it was the kindergarten teacher's fault, being so sweet and kind, setting us up to believe that the school thing was going to be a breeze. But if you showed up in Miss Patterson's first grade class thinking you were going to be a free spirit or act up or goof off or step even an inch out of line at any moment, you were in for a rude awakening. Do you remember Miss Patterson? Ask a Marine if he or she remembers their drill sergeant. Ask a prison inmate if they remember their first day on the cell block. Miss Patterson had rules, friends, and rules would not be broken, nor would they even be bent. Miss Patterson had clear expectations of us. Miss Patterson was the law, and you will comply, you little feral children. You will comply, or you will be punished. We really don't like rules, do we? Whether we're 6 years old or 16 or 60, we don't like to be told what to do. Nor do we like to be told what not to do, for that matter. Don't like to be told. That's maybe a little too mild. Sometimes we flat out hate to be bossed around. We resent being limited. Don't tell me it's not true. Show of hands, how many of us always comply with the posted speed limit? And if Miss Patterson had rules, oh my goodness, first grade was just the start of it, right? Life is full of guidelines and restrictions and boundaries and rules. There's no end to it. And above them all, the grand poobahs of all behavioral restrictions, right there in our Old Testament lesson for today, the Ten Commandments. How easy it would be to misunderstand God's intent in passing down these rules to Moses, and from Moses to the Israelites, and from them to all of us. How easy it would be to misconstrue the Ten Commandments as some kind of test we have to pass in order for God to love us. A lot of people think that way, you know. I can't tell you how many people over the years I've asked this question. What do you need to do to get to heaven? And they answer, more often than not, you know, be a good person. Keep the Ten Commandments. That's what God wants. Wrong. Wrong, in fact, for at least a couple of huge reasons. First, who of us could ever keep the Ten Commandments, right? Like nobody. And second, God didn't ask us to obey the Ten Commandments in order that God would love us. God asked us to obey the Ten Commandments because God loves us and wants the best for us. Look, God knows what we're capable of. We sinful, selfish, envious, greedy people. God knows how left to our own devices we can treat each other with cruelty, hurting, cheating on, stealing from, lying about each other. In the gospel story where Jesus chases the money lenders out of the temple, you know why Jesus was so mad that day? People were cheating and price gouging their very own sisters and brothers in the faith, inside the temple itself. That's how low we're willing to go, left to our own devices. And God says in the Ten Commandments essentially this: don't do that. Love me, God says, and love each other. Treat each other with kindness, with grace, with patience, with respect. In these things, God's message is exactly the same as Miss Patterson's was to us little children. Take your turn. Hold back your anger. Speak kindly. For heaven's sake, share with each other. Be Jesus for each other. That, my friends, is exactly why Miss Patterson was so strict all those years ago. We took all of that meanness that she meant as caring. More than anything else, she wanted us to know the joy of living as Christ himself has called us to live, to experience the fullness of God's desire, God's yearning for our lives. Standing in the visitation line on Wednesday, as she was about to move on, Miss Patterson squeezed my hand. And she leaned in close to say this: it's always such a joy to see my little students all grown up, how they've become responsible, caring adults. And in that moment, I realized that even though Miss Patterson hadn't changed, I sure have. And I was filled with gratitude for the lessons that she taught me, for parents who shaped my life, for a church that shaped my faith. Gratitude for a life filled with opportunities to share God's love in the same way that so many have shared that love with me. That's the mission we share, dear friends. And what a beautiful thing it is to follow Jesus. May God bless us all in this work of caring, of teaching, of serving. In Jesus' name, amen.
The most valuable message we have to share at Faith is the promise we have in Jesus. We come together every Sunday to share this good news in the reading of Scripture and sharing of Holy Communion. It is these two acts of worship that we learn of the forgiveness, peace, and joy that Jesus has won for us on the cross. These gifts also belong to you, and we hope you will feel welcome to receive them. After we've shared worship together, we trust that we are ready to be sent out into the world to serve our neighbor, and you're welcome to join us in that great work as well. There are so many opportunities at Faith to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. It's what we feel called to do. It's what we're passionate about. Above all, I want to encourage you in your faith. No matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, you are welcome to visit Faith as often as you are able. But whatever you do, keep searching. There is a church family set aside just for you, and I trust the Holy Spirit will place you right where you need to be.